Shishi Nathai Gora Hari King. Shishi Radha Damada King. Shishi Yashoda Damada King. Kartik Vrata King. Damada Vrata King. Go Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. How wonderful to be here with you all. And it is our first Sunday program for the month of Kartik. So it's just very, very special time indeed. And it's so nice to have the association of His Holiness Ram Govinda Maharaj. And we'll read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam regarding Kartik. And say a few words, and then after a while we will very humbly appeal to Maharaj to say some words also. Hare Krishna. There was a program. Wednesday was the first night, was it? Wednesday was the first night. Okay. Who was here for that program? Put your hand up. Okay. Do you remember, did he read a particular verse from somewhere? Anyone remember? I know.
He spoke on the first verse from Damodar Asthana.
Oh, I see. Is Govardhan down here? Oh, there he is. There's just so many faces. It's just a sort of a big mix. I see. Okay, first verse of Damodar Asthana. All right, I thought we could read from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 9. Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna. This is a very, you could say, classic verse about this month and the particular pastime. So please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9, Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna, text 20. Neimam virincho na bhavo, na shirapyanga samshaya, prasadam labire gopi, yatat prapa vimuktidat. Translation. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a comparative study between Mother Yashoda and other devotees of the Lord, as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 5, verse 142. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Ara Sabha Vritya. The only supreme master is Krishna, and all others are his servants. Krishna has the transcendental quality of Britya Vashyata, becoming subordinate to his Britya or servant. Now, although everyone is Britya, and although Krishna has the quality of becoming subordinate to his Britya, the position of Mother Yashoda is the greatest. Lord Brahma is Britya, a servant of Krishna, and he is Adikavi, the original creator of this universe. Tene Brahma Hrida Ya Adikavaye. Nonetheless, even he could not obtain such mercy as Mother Yashoda. As for Lord Shiva, he is the topmost Vaishnava. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. What to speak of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva? The goddess of fortune Lakshmi is the Lord's constant companion and servants, since she always associates with his body. But even she could not get such mercy. Therefore Maharaj Parikshit was surprised, thinking, what did Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj do in their previous lives by which they got such a great opportunity, the opportunity to be the affectionate father and mother of Krishna? In this verse, there are three negative pronouncements. Na, na, na. When anything is uttered three times, do it, do it, do it. One should understand that this is meant to indicate great stress on a fact. In this verse we find, na labire, na labire, na labire. Yet, Mother Yashoda is in the supermost exalted position, and thus Krishna has become completely subordinate to her. The word vimuktidat is also significant. There are different types of liberation, such as sayujya, salokya, sarupya, sarshti, and samipya. But vimukti means special mukti. When, after liberation, one is situated on the platform of prema bhakti, one is said to have achieved vimukti, special mukti. Therefore the word na is mentioned. That exalted platform of prema is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as prema pumarto mahan. And Mother Yashoda naturally acts in such an exalted position in loving affairs. She is therefore a Nitya Siddha devotee, an expansion of Krishna's Vladini potency, his potency to enjoy transcendental bliss through expansions who are special devotees. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhi. Such devotees are not Sadhana Siddha. So I'll read the verse again. Neman virincho na bhavo, na shir apyanga samshaya, prasadam lebire gopi, yatat prapa vimuktidat. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachayame Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastyutyadeshitane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakapaturivyasthyakripa, Sindhubhyayavacha, Vajidhanam bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Yes, well, it's very special time, the month of Kartik, the month of Dhammada, and this is very special verse, bringing our attention to really the underlying theme, which is provides at least the essence of what this is all about. And it's just very nice to be here with all of you. Yesterday, we were in Dubai. And, well, almost right at this time, like an hour ago, we were having a program. There is a Krishna temple in Dubai and a Lord Shiva temple also. So we had a little program in the Krishna temple, and there were some devotees, I don't know, 25 or 30 or so perhaps. And there in Dubai, you have to have translation from English into Hindi. Yes. So anyway, it's nice to be able to just talk in English, because my Hindi is not the best. It may be the worst, but maybe not the worst, but it's right down there somewhere. So it's nice to be able to express myself a little more freely. And this is such a special time, and it's such a special pastime, and the principle which is there, which is the essence in practical terms, is so special that it's just all very special. It's sort of most special, specialist, not specialist, but specialist. So now I think you're all basically familiar with the pastime itself. And on top of that, His Grace Govardhan Prabhu, I imagine on Wednesday night also elaborated on the pastime. We will say, we will mention some of those points, some of the things that happened in the pastime. But first thing I wanted to touch on, it's really about the principle, you could say, the lesson that is there for us to learn from this pastime. It's very important, and well, I don't know if it was elaborated on Wednesday night, but Srila Prabhupada said, repetition of a good thing is good. So if I'm being repetitive, try not to worry too much. But the principle is, well, let me just first mention that it's just so interesting to notice how this particular pastime of the Damodar Leela of Mother Yashoda, tying Krishna and everything that led up to it, and then the things that follow from the tying, we're observing this. And celebrating this for the whole month, the whole lunar month. And that's very significant, that there are so many occasions which we celebrate. We celebrated Janmashtami not too long ago, and Ram Navami we celebrate, Prabhupada's appearance and disappearance days, and days, appearance days of some other avatars, and you know, Govardhan Puja is coming up in a couple of weeks, where we focus on a particular pastime. And it's just very wonderful. Everyone loves Govardhan Puja. But now, generally speaking, those events or pastimes, they are celebrated, observed for one particular day, on the particular day that the event occurred, whatever it may have been, and that's it, more or less. Sometimes they do Gita Week, sometimes we also do something like that in some of our temples, or we have a series of programs maybe leading up to Ram Navami, or we had a few years ago, we had a series of programs in Marlborough leading up to Lord Nityananda's appearance day. I recall 3 or 4 programs leading up. Although normally we observe one of these very special and very divine occasions just on the day, for one day, more often, much more often than not. This is another pastime. It's another pastime of the Lord. Actually, the pastime occurred on the Diwali day. So you can remember that in, what is it, on the 7th, is it? On the 7th, what? 7th, I think. On that day, you can remember, this is the day that the pastime actually occurred. But we are celebrating it for a whole month. And this is significant. It's very significant. It's not just because it's a nice pastime, we like it, although we do like it. But there's an element of this point of importance, of relevance to us in terms of our lives, the ways we're conducting our lives in, and our practice of devotional service, our efforts to progress in Krishna consciousness. It's important that this pastime, there's such a lesson or lessons in this pastime. They are just such critical, extreme importance that this pastime is celebrated for a month, and not just on, perhaps on the Diwali day or just on one day. And just like a similar principle to some degree, a similar principle is there in how Srila Prabhupada comments in his purports on different verses. You will have noticed, if you've been reading Prabhupada's books, you would have noticed that some of Prabhupada's purports are longer, some, not many, but some are very long, maybe 10, several pages or something like that. And some are just a paragraph. Even some verses have no purport. So, the length of purport, at least to some degree, we should understand, there's some reflection of the importance of the particular verse there, in terms of how long. Like the longest, as I recall, are the purports, or at least one of the purports, but I think maybe all of them, of what they call Chatushloki Bhagavatam in the second canto. Second canto, I think it's chapter 9, if I remember correctly, 34, 35, 36, 37, am I right? Or was it 33? Okay. 33, 34, 35, 36. And have a look at those verses. This is Lord Krishna instructing Lord Brahma, giving like the most foundational instructions about reality, about what is life and what is this world, what is our position, who is he, and what's our relationship, and how we should address these things. And at least, I think all of the purports are long. And one of them, I can't remember exactly, but I think it's at least 10 pages. And it means something. It's not that some sort of just Prabhupada just carried on for some reason, but it really means something. Then there are a few verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, as I recall in Adilila chapter 5, if I remember correctly. There's a few, one or two perhaps, or some number of verses which also have long purports. Long purports. Prabhupada is refuting Mayavad. And even in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 2 has, relative to the other verses in Bhagavad Gita, a longer purport, quite a bit longer. Chapter 16, is it verses? Anyway, in the beginning, early part of chapter 16, there's a verse with a purport which goes on for some number of pages. Then on top of that, there's an interesting point in terms of importance and how Prabhupada really gave special attention to certain verses in terms of how many times Srila Prabhupada gave classes on certain verses. I'm not saying that these are, this is always just absolutely the case, but it's a rule of thumb to some degree. Do you know? I mean, we've mentioned this on a number of cases going, a number of times over the years. Anyone remember what verse is the verse which Srila Prabhupada gave class on more than any other verse? Anyone remember? I'm sure I've mentioned it before. Okay, that's 2:13. That is the verse Prabhupada gave class on second the most. Not actually the most, but the next. And there are recorded classes, it's like 12 or 13, something like that, on that verse. Bhagavad Gita 2:13. But the verse which Prabhupada gave class on the most was Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 1. And, you know, we have these books published by the, what do you call them? The archives. The archives, where they have this, there's a series of books, Prabhupada's recorded lectures on Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's recorded lectures on Bhagavad Gita. So the Bhagavad Gita set, it's a set of several books with transcripts of all of Prabhupada's recorded lectures that are known on Bhagavad Gita. It's several books. One of those books is almost entirely, it's like 75% of it, is just Prabhupada giving class on Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, verse 1. It means something. The purport, Prabhupada's purport on chapter 7, verse 1, is a little long. It's not so long. It's sort of, it's definitely longer than average. So maybe it's not absolutely that in every case you can understand the importance of this verse or that by simply how many times Prabhupada gave class on it or how long the purport is. But these things, they do have significance and should definitely be taken into consideration. So now in this case here, in this case, this pastime of Lord Krishna is celebrated for a month. Every single day we observe it. Every single day by at least offering the lamps. And it means something. Now, what it means is really, at least introducing in this verse we read, that Mother Yashoda is such a special devotee, and she's so devoted, dedicated to Lord Krishna with such prema, such love for the Lord, that there's no one, even big devotees like Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva or even Lakshmi Devi, they cannot compare to her. They're at least not equally at all. They're all on lower levels. Even Lakshmi is on a lower level as a devotee. Her love for the Lord is less, significantly less, than the love of Mother Yashoda. Even though the love of Lakshmi Devi is just way beyond the love any of us have, it's really, she's just on another level altogether compared to us. But even her compared to Mother Yashoda, she's just not on the same level at all. Yes. So you know the story. Mother Yashoda was churning the yogurt into butter while breastfeeding Krishna simultaneously. This is maternal multitasking. Don't think that multitasking is only there in computers. It has been going on. It has been going on for a long time. It's eternal, really. So that's what she was doing. And Prabhupada makes the comment that Lord Krishna, being breastfed by his mother, he was just so happy. He was just so happy. Prabhupada says, this is the sort of happiest situation for a child. When the child is being breastfed by the mother. Better than any other time. Happier, more secure, sort of safer, more protected, feeling more affection when being breastfed. And then Mother Yashoda noticed, this was perhaps in the courtyard, she noticed inside in the kitchen, one pot of milk was just coming to boil over. It was just beginning to boil over. And milk, being liquid religiosity and just extremely sacred in and of itself, milk cannot or should not be wasted. Liquid religiosity. So Mother Yashoda, in order to save the milk, she just put Krishna down just like that. She didn't ask him, is it all right? She didn't try to take him and multitask with that milk also. Somehow she decided, just put him down just like that, just like that. And therefore Krishna suddenly, from the most secure, wonderful, protected, being loved situation, suddenly Krishna is abandoned. Just abandoned. and he's on the floor looking up at the sky, and that's it. And his mother has just disappeared. So, you can understand for a child, this would be quite a shocking experience, actually. And Krishna was shocked. Krishna was really shocked. And he pulled himself together a bit, but he was really disturbed. Really disturbed, transcendentally. We get disturbed also. You know, we are more prone to get disturbed by material situations, at least that propensity is certainly there, from material life. So we should not think that, yes, I get disturbed, you get disturbed, she gets disturbed, Krishna gets disturbed, everyone gets disturbed, such as life. It's very different. Krishna's disturbance and our disturbance, they're very different things, really different phenomena. And Krishna's disturbance is always completely transcendental and just based on love and affection and not just some thing that I was disadvantaged in some way by someone and I'm upset with them and not happy about the situation. So Krishna became deeply disturbed. And he felt, and Prabhupada describes about the interactions between mother and child. They have all these interactions. I mean, you all know, at least particularly the mothers, those who are parents, you know very well the interaction between parents and children, and particularly the mothers and their children. There's all sorts of intimate dealings and back and forth and getting upset and pacifying and so on and so forth. This is, you know, the business of the mother. Yes, working with the child and helping the child to develop as a person. So in that, and sometimes the child gets angry with the mother and sulks. These things happen. And the mother then may reproach the child a bit and mildly chastise the child a bit. And, you know, these things are just going on every day, pretty much, between mothers and their children. So Krishna got upset. And he decided, and Mother Yashoda was tending to the milk and giving it her attention. And Krishna decided to, you could say, take revenge. Or just, take revenge, or express his feelings of hurt by just getting back at Mother Yashoda. So there was the pot, fairly substantial pot, clay pot, that she was churning the yogurt into butter in. And Krishna took a rock and smashed a hole in the side of the pot. And out came, like she was in the middle of the process, so out came half-formed butter and sort of half-formed butter milk and half milk, and it was really... And it all came out, and maybe it was, I don't know, 15 or 20 liters. It was a substantial amount. And so there was a mess. a first-class mess on the floor. Can you imagine? 20 liters of butter, buttermilk, and sort of some which is half milk still, and like this. So Krishna did this, and it was a mess. But then Krishna didn't feel that right. You know, I taught her a lesson, okay, that's enough. Krishna thought, let me continue with this program. And there were pots, clay pots, of butter and various other dairy products hanging from the ceiling for security purposes. Hanging from the ceiling. Somehow Krishna, even though he's just a small boy, I don't know, 3 or 4 years or something. 3 years. Kumar. He's only 3 years old. He's just had his third birthday then, because Janmashtami just passed. Just three years old. Krishna somehow climbed up. Can you believe it? Really enterprising little boy. He climbed up with the rock, because he had to smash those pots, so he had to have the rock also. So, you know, he's pretty agile, climbing up with rock, somehow, right up. Maybe 3 meters or 4 meters perhaps, because they had high ceilings in those days. And bang, he smashed another pot, and out came perhaps butter. 10 liters, 15 kilos maybe, of butter splodge onto the floor. Then somehow, over to the next pot and bash, and out comes something else, some just milk maybe, or some cream, or some yogurt, or some something. And he bashed a number of pots, and so from up must have been, I don't know if it was as much as 100 liters, but I'm sure it was at least 50 liters of different dairy products. Just now they're all on the floor, along with the already maybe 20 or 15 liters of the butter, buttermilk, etc. Talk about a housewife's nightmare. Sure. That was extreme. It was really extreme, actually. There's one little story, you've probably heard it, but anyway, let me just mention. One time, not that time, but one other time, when Krishna climbed up to get the butter, which was suspended again from the same ceiling, maybe the same ceiling, Krishna climbed up, and that Mother Yashoda, from, you know, hard experience, had learned some lessons. So along with suspending the pot of butter from the ceiling, she put bells around the pot. Bells. Talk about security arrangements. So that if anyone touched the pot, then some ringing would happen. And then she would know, and she'd come running. So Krishna climbed up, and Krishna spoke to the bells. Because in Vrindavan, particularly that Vrindavan, in those days, everything is not a thing. Everything is a person. Yeah, even the pots are persons, the bells are persons. So the bells were persons, and Krishna spoke with them and said, you know, I'm going to steal some butter, and I don't want you to ring. And the bells said, well, what's the deal? How are you going to reciprocate? And Krishna said, I will be your best friend. And you must know, if you have the best, if Krishna's your best friend, that's just the best situation in life. So I'll be your best friend, so don't ring. And the bell said, okay, we won't ring when you steal the butter. So Krishna then put his hand over the top and took some butter, and of course in the process he knocked the pot, but the bells didn't ring because they had promised. But then Krishna didn't simply steal the butter, he started eating it. As soon as he started eating, the bells started ringing. And Krishna said, what are you doing? How can you do that? You promised you wouldn't ring. And the bell said, yes, we promised you we wouldn't ring when you steal the butter. But when God eats, you have to ring a bell. So we had to ring when you decided to eat it. Anyway, that was another time. So, So there's all this mess then on the floor. Krishna comes down and starts eating some of the butter because there was some, like, you know, properly formed butter there. And he started eating some of the butter, having a wonderful time. Until he had eaten as much as he could manage to eat. And then the monkeys came and he started feeding the monkeys until the monkeys had had as much as they could manage. And then Krishna is offering the butter to the monkeys. And the monkeys are pulling back and refusing. And it was at that moment that Mother Yashoda walked in, having saved the milk and done whatever needed to be done with the milk. She came back in, and there's this mess, incredible mess. And Krishna offering the butter to the monkeys, but the monkeys refusing. And Krishna's still in the mood. Oh, you don't treat me like that, you know, you treat me like that, I tell you what. I'm going to get really upset. So wanting to get back at her, still, Krishna said to Mother Yashoda, just see, Mata, your butter is so bad, even the monkeys were themselves. And it was at that point, Mother Yashoda decided, you know, even when she saw the mess, she hadn't completely decided to take action, like disciplinary action. But when Krishna was really cheeky, just really cheeky little boy, then Mother Yashoda decided, that's it, he's gone too far. I have to discipline him. Yeah, I have to do something and just really do something to him which will really make an impression on his mind that I must not, cannot do this again. Never again. Somehow to teach him a lesson to that point means, you know, quite a lesson. So it was at that point that she decided to tie him up. Not like many current day parents, if the child does some real nonsense, then they bash the child. hit the child with something, you know, this type of violence. Not like that. But teach him a lesson, tie him up, which will not actually hurt him, but it will restrict him. He won't be able to just act freely and do what he likes and have a good time. And leave him tied up for a while so it really sinks in that I must not do it again, because if I do, I get into this bad situation of being tied up and I don't want it to happen again. So she tried, so she decided to do that. But of course, first she has to catch him. And she came over, you know, sort of promptly came over quickly to grab him. Krishna saw what was about to happen and he ran. Yeah. Yes, he ran. Like when we would distribute books in England, in England, and go on Harinam, oftentimes in those days, in the 70s, the police would come. And you know what we would do? We would run. We called it doing a legger. Fortunately, in England, they don't have guns. You know, the way things are in America, I'm sure if we did leggers there, they'd shoot us. Anyway, so Krishna ran. And Krishna is 3 years old, small boy, but very, you know, developing a little strength and very agile, dodgy, and quick-witted. And Mother Yashoda, she is middle-aged, actually. Even though Krishna's only three, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they had been wanting a child for years, but they did not have a child. And then Krishna came. So Mother Yashoda's middle-aged. No, maybe 40-ish or something like that. Srila Prabhupada, when one devotee artist was asking Prabhupada, how should I paint Nanda Maharaj? Prabhupada said, Shishinitai Gora Hare Kija. Srila Prabhupada said he should be middle-aged and with hair which is graying. And you know, generally, or at least in many cases, fathers whose children are just 3 years old, they haven't reached the graying point yet. In many cases. But Nanda Maharaj, he was middle-aged, his hair was graying, and Prabhupada said he should be depicted like that. So Mother Yashoda, she's middle-aged, maybe plus or minus 40 or so, and she was heavily built, not really heavily built, but a little heavily built. You know, when a lady is at home and just looking after the home and doesn't have to run around here and there, and particularly if they're expert cooks, then they may become a little, you know what I mean. I don't know if I should mention this, but what I'm going to say now, it might be considered by some to be offensive, but when I first arrived here in January 1980, in our temple, Cato Ridge, we had brahmacharis, brahmacharinis, there was some number of temple resident devotees, I forget, maybe 30 or something, 40. Living in the temple. And there was a joke amongst the brahmacharis, it was a joke, that, and not just about the brahmacharis, but about the girls in Hindu, South African Hindu society, that they, when they're, you know, young, but sort of marriageable age, they may be very nice and active and, you know, like that. But as soon as they manage to catch a guy, capture a young man as their husband, then the boys would say, then they park off. And they explain to me that means like when you got a car, but the car's kind of had its day, you just park it off. Excuse me. So, but Nadia Shana, she's not a small person, not agile. Actually, she's described like that in this pastime in the Bhagavatam, that she's heavily built. Yes, so heavily built, a bit older, so not agile and quick. And she couldn't catch Krishna. She was trying and trying. She just couldn't catch him. So it's a bit of a long story, but basically, her mood of motherly concern, not, you know, I want to retaliate and bash him and just, you know, get at him. Nothing like that. But the motherly mood of concern that this boy is my responsibility and I have to train him to become a proper human being and not just some wild, uncontrolled sort of delinquent type. Her mood of concern like that was just increasing and increasing. She was not about to give up. She was not about to give up. It was either catch Krishna or die trying. Really. She just had to do it. It was just absolutely her responsibility, and she was just absolutely going to do it. And that was just absolutely all there was to it. So she just persevered and carried on. And the mood of loving concern increased and increased and increased, until it overflowed and it sort of flooded Krishna. Out of her heart, it flooded over Krishna, and then Krishna became unable to escape any longer, and she caught him. And then she tied him. We're sort of running out of time, but anyway, you know the story. Then she tied him. That was another ordeal. Same principle, trying, failing, to tie him. The rope, even though she was adding to it every time, the rope was always two fingers too short. Finally, the same thing happened. Her love just flooded out and overflowed and overpowered Krishna, and then she was able to tie him. And at that point, even if she had only, you know, maybe like a centimeter, something like that, a centimeter of rope, it would have been enough. Somehow, it would have been enough. And she tied Krishna. So this is the point that Mother Yashoda, her being able to tie Krishna, that is Krishna's mercy to her. That is Krishna's mercy. That he, first of all, allowed her to catch him, and secondly, allowed her to tie him. by his mercy, because of her love. So the whole pastime is just revolving around this point, the love of Mother Yashoda, and how through that love, she was able to control Krishna. In this world, of course, there's so many people who are religiously minded in one way or another. And in the vast majority of cases, they want something from the Lord. You know, it's Sunday. I'm sure just in Joburg, there are many thousands of Christians in church right now. And in many of the cases, their attitudes, at least part of their attitude, if not the main part, is going to be some idea of praying to the Lord and hoping to get from God, ultimately meaning Krishna, something, usually something material. So many people are praying like that in the different traditions, with this underlying idea, or even not just underlying it, in many cases just blatant idea, we want something from God. And, you know, if God won't give it to us after we've tried for some time, if he won't give it to us, we'll teach him a lesson. Huh. We will convert. Take that, God. You know, Hindus convert to Christianity. People, whoever converts to Islam, there's this movement in between traditions. And a lot of it's based on this idea. I want a better deal. I'm not getting the deal I'm looking for. But not with Mother Yashoda. Not with Mother Yashoda. Simply concerned for the well-being of Krishna. She didn't want him to grow up to become a criminal. Today he's stealing butter. When he grows up, he may steal motor cars. Join the gang from Soweto. Or if not motor cars, at least buffalo carts. Hijack buffalo carts and sell them on the black market. Yeah. And she didn't want people to think, you know, if Krishna grew up to become the head, the leader of the Makan Mafia, she didn't. When the police arrested him, she didn't want them to think that what sort of useless mother did this fellow have? They just couldn't train him to become a proper human being. So in that mood of concern for Krishna's well-being, Mother Yashoda was just giving everything, giving her heart completely. And Krishna reciprocated. Krishna came under the control of her love. Prabhupada elsewhere makes the point, it's not exactly that Krishna becomes controlled by the devotee. Otherwise, Krishna would have been controlled by Mother Yashoda from the outset. It was only when her love reached a certain point, Krishna became controlled by her love. That's what controlled Krishna. Otherwise, she'd already been trying. Same Mother Yashoda, but he wasn't becoming controlled. So it's the love. So this is so foundational in Krishna consciousness. It's just, that is the foundation. That's it. Prema pumarto maham. The goal of love is to develop love for Krishna. And anything else, name, fame, power, intellect, you know, some brilliance in this way or that, or whatever. It is all, it's all nothing really. It's all practically nothing. And the only thing which really matters is love. And it's such an important point for us that we celebrate this pastime for a month and not just for one day or 2 days or something. Because we have to get that point. So, Hare Krishna. Shishi Radha Damodaki. Shri Shri Yashoda Damodar ke, Damodar Leela ke, Hare Krishna. Can Maharaj say that? Can you give him a mic?
జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చచ్చున్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురువే నమః. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం బంధం లంఘయతే గిరిం యత్కృపాతమహం వందే శ్రీగురుం దీనకారణం పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీచైతన్యమీశ్వరం శ్రీచైతన్యమాంబుష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదామయ్యం దదాతి స్వాత్మ. వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం పశ్చపాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణా రఘునాథమంతం తం సజీవం ఆద్వైతం సావధూతం హరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ పాదాం నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంతస్వామి నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రతారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశసారిణే. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీనివాసాదిగురు హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ రామ రామ. ద స్టోరీ హ్యాస్ బిన్ వండర్ఫుల్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ బై హిజ్ హోలీనెస్ భక్తిచైతన్య స్వామి మహారాజ్. మహారాజ్ వెంట్ టూ డీప్, వన్ అవర్ పాయింట్ ఐ నెవర్ గాట్ ఇట్. ద థర్డ్ ద నైన్త్ చాప్టర్ క్యాంటో పాస్టర్ అంబరీష్ మహారాజ్ పాస్టర్ కృష్ణ లార్డ్ హరి నారాయణ సిల్ అహం భక్త పరాధీన అని స్వతంత్ర విభజ్య భక్త పరాధీన లార్డ్ ఈ కంట్రోల్ బై ద డెవోటీ, ఐఎమ్ నాట్ ఇండిపెండెంట్. సో విచ్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ డెవోటీస్ దర్శన మహారాజ్ వెరీ వండర్ఫుల్ సే దట్ డెవోటీస్ విత్ లవ్ దట్ లవ్ ఓవర్ ఫ్లోస్ దెన్ బై దట్ ఎఫెక్ట్ లార్డ్ అసెప్ట్ సబ్మిట్స్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ నాట్ ఎవరీ డెవోటీ. And one comes to the pure devotional service, he has nothing personal to achieve, but only for the pleasure of the Lord. Just like the gopis, the example of the highest love of God is prema pamartama. At that stage, one, the devotees can control the Lord. The Lord wants to serve the devotees. He feels happy. Just like devotees feel happy to serve the Lord, devotee, reciprocation is there. ఏ యథా మాం ప్రపద్యంతే తాం తథైవ వదామ్యహం. ఇన్ ద సేమ్ చాప్టర్ సెకండ్ వర్స్ నైస్లీ మెన్షన్, వెన్ మదర్ యశోద వాజ్ షర్నింగ్ ద యోగర్ట్ టు మేక్ దట్ షీ వాజ్ ద మౌ షీ వాజ్ గ్లోరిఫైంగ్ ద లిటిల్ పాస్టర్ బికాస్ ఫ్రమ్ ద చైల్డ్హుడ్ కృష్ణ వాజ్ జస్ట్ 2 వీక్స్ అర్ లెస్ ఈ కిల్ పుతన When he was just 3 months old, he killed Shakatasura. He was just 1 year old, he killed Trunavasa. And all these pastimes, which is surprising all Rebasi because of the yoga maya they are forgetting. Thinking that this boy is not ordinary child, huh? These demons are dying. Huh? Anyway, all the demons come from Mathura with one way ticket, never go back. So they were surprising all the time. So, but they are at the same time, Lord doesn't want to be disclosed. He doesn't want. He wants that, let me hide here, give pleasure to my pure devotees. So she was with the Maharshi, she was glorifying that little pastime of little Krishna. With a body, she is serving Krishna to prevail, butter, shining. Huh? So mind completely absorbing the thought and beautiful palm of Krishna, thinking. And Krishna at the time, early in the morning, he was still on the bed. When Mother Yashoda was seen by thought, word and deed, and glorifying Krishna, remembering little Krishna, Lord has come. When we also, by thought, word and deed, if you remember Krishna, Lord has to come. But it was sometimes chant but mindfully somewhere else, isn't it? But here so that Mother Yashoda was there, so little Krishna thought that, oh, my mother is calling me, let me go. So this verse also gives the glorification of the devotional service. The mercy which Lord can bestow on the devotees, that mercy even the Brahma with his son, considered son, okay, he didn't get it, Viranchi's son. Lord Shiva, all the time, meditating in the trance, the Supreme Personality Godhead Krishna. When he goes in the trance, he opens eyes after some thousands of years. Such a great Vaishnava. And no one has the courage, dare to disturb his trance. If anyone, only once, the people try to disturb, he opened eyes, burnt into ashes. Is it? You all know the story. What is that happiness is getting in the trance by seeing the Supreme Lord Krishna? But even though he was in such a trance, all the time meditating, he could not get that mercy which Mother Yashoda got it. Who can chase the Lord Krishna? In the Bhagavad they said, the fear person feared, yes, Vivek is same bhayam. The personification of fear is afraid of that Supreme Lord. That Supreme Lord afraid of the little stick in the hands of the cowherd lady. Is it how it is? Huh? So, but because it's not the stick, it is the love of mother, pure love of Godhead, is controlling. So, Lord Shiva also couldn't get that much mercy. Goddess of fortune, Bhagavati Lakshmi, all the time massaging the feet. You never see the Lakshmi sitting at the near head of the Lord, always at the lotus feet. All the time she is serving, but still she never got that mercy whatsoever. But Mother Yashoda got it. So that pure devotional service, it pleases the Lord. In the 14th chapter of Uddhava Gita, Lord Krishna, final instruction he gives to Uddhava, says that Narapecham manim shantim nirvairam samadarshanam anuvrajamiham nityam puvietam hridi nabhi. This is pure devotee's qualities, that when a devotee worships me, meditates upon me, serves me, without any desire, Narapecham, and is always peaceful. Because we have no desires, no trouble. Desires are the cause of our distress and lamentation and trouble in our life. Āśāhi paramam duttam nairāśyam paramam sukham. So if there are no desires, so it is always peaceful. Nairvairam, okay? Because no desire, not envious of anyone. If you have a desire, then envious will also come. And it is not envious. Devotee need not to be envious of anyone. That is the first quality Krishna wanted us. Adveshta Sarabhutana Mitra Pranivata. Devotee is not supposed to be any of anyone at all, it is. So, this is not envious. Such a devotee, Lord says, Anugraha, I am always going behind him. Why? I want to take the dust from the lotus feet of that pure devotee, which will purify the entire universe. Such is the Lord Himself glorifies the pure devotional service and the devotee love of the Lord. Who will attend him? Just serving the Lord, far is not our pleasure. So, Lord, you are the mercy. So, here we can see Mother Yashoda is giving the example of the true love of Godhead. She has nothing to do. Mother, actually, she loves the children not for the pleasure, but always for the pleasure of the child. Pure love, mother's love. So here, because of the pure love, now it is controlled. The same, Sukadeva Goswami also nice, says that. The great sages who meditate upon the Supreme Lord, millions of years, still they cannot catch him. They try to see the Lord, but they are unable to catch the Lord. But here Mother Yashoda, poor lady, taking a stick, running behind Krishna, Supreme Lord, to catch him. Sukadeva Goswami says, how surprising it is. Means the Lord cannot be catched by anything other than the devotional service. How one should do the pure devotional service, the Prabhupada nicely explains in verse purport. Stresses on us how one should serve the Lord. What Srila Prabhupada has given to us about the bhakti, performing the devotional service, no other ever has given. You can talk to many times. Once I was in the train and we came to some from Sri Sampradaya was there. They were talking. They talk about Narayana, they talk about Krishna. No problem. So finally they accepted that. He said that we also read sometimes Prabhupada Bhagavata. But the way Prabhupada explains, wonderful. No one ever explained the verses in elaborately what Srila Prabhupada has done. Everyone reads it. Because Prabhupada's explanations are, anyone can understand it. I remember in the childhood you asked bhakti, what is, you don't know what is bhakti. But everybody says bhakti. What is the bhakti? Bhagavad Gita, all other literatures, Prabhupada's lessons. The pure devotional service can one can perform, Prabhupada explained, and what is the effect of the pure devotional service, we can see in the Bhagavatam. In the 9th canto also, 7th canto also, Prahlada's glorifying the Lord, Narasimhadev, used the same word. My dear Lord, I am born in the family of the demons. My body is full of the mode of ignorance and passion. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Divine Personality, demigods, they worship, they prayed, offered prayers, wonderful prayers, till you could not be specified. How that? Just my little prayers, I don't really, I'm a little boy, I don't know even how to offer prayers. But you satisfied, became peaceful. That verse also gives, that verse also gives the glories of the devotional service like this verse. Parampati Maharaj has been just reciting. It's a wonderful verse giving the glories of devotional service. The other aspects, Maharaj has wonderfully elaborately explained each aspect of it, how the pure devotional service Lord with the Lord Himself. Not the bhakti, just bhakti. Bhakti is the pure love of Godhead. Is the one which controls the Lord, which Mother Yashoda had it. So this is a wonderful month for all the Vaishnavas. All the Vaishnavas, it's wonderful. Irrespective which Sampradaya, all the Vaishnavas celebrate it. In Vrindavan, you can say Sri Sampradaya celebrate, Kumar Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, Brahma Sampradaya, all the Sampradayas, they celebrate Damodar. Damodar Das. Everyone wants to offer the lamb. Why? In the Tanu Purana, in the Tanu Purana, both taken from these Puranas, Sanatana Goswami wrote Harbhakti Vilas. In that book mentioned that any little extra devotional service performed in this month, Lord will be pleased. Lord can give easy liberation. He doesn't want to give a pure devotional service. But in the month of Kartik, if we do the devotional service in a breath, then Lord is ready to be planting the devotional service, bhakti. The name bhakti is superior than all other aspects. That's why bhakti is in the descending process. Either one can get the bhakti by the mercy of the devotees or by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, not on their own efforts. In the spiritual practice of our life also, we should also always try to be in association with the devotees. Because the mercy of the devotee is the prime factor in our life. Then only we can sit properly situated in the devotional service. So Bhagavata means how to properly situate in the bhakti, how to perform the pure devotion, explain the Damodar aspect on this one. This chapter, 9th and both are example how one can perform the devotional service just for the pleasure of the Lord. When the pleasure of the Lord will do service, and what is the devotee want to ask? And finally, in the 10th chapter, last verse, you can see, few verses before, what Gandharva's asking. My dear Lord, give me blessing. Lord said that, ask any benediction I am ready to give. I want to give you. But they didn't ask any money. They never asked that I want to be in heaven. What they asked? My dear Lord, just bless that with our mouth. We always glorify your pastimes, nothing else. Our eyes sees only your Achyavigraha, your form. That's nothing else. With our hand, we serve your lotus feet. So with all the body they want to serve. So that is pure devotional service, like just like Amrish Maharaj also. So here also you can see Mother Yashoda with all the heart, word and deed, mind, the speed and the body is serving the Krishna. For the pleasure of Krishna. So that will please the Lord. Stop here. भगवान की जय कृष्ण गोपाल की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव की
जय श्री श्री गुरु कृष्ण स्वामी महाराज की जय श्री श्री चैतन्य स्वामी महाराज की जय इस थैंक दिस वंडरफुल पर्सनालिटीज बाय रेजिंग आवर हैंड्स एंड चैंटिंग द होली नेम हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे हरे थैंक यू सो मच महाराज फॉर स्पीकिंग सो वंडरफुली ऑन this topmost mercy which Mother Yashoda obtained and the importance of devotional service. Thank you so very much for that. The next part of the program is now the launch of the BTG Marathon, and for that I'll hand you over to His Grace Dinesh Krishna Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada Ki! Yeah.